Oh, Lord Jesus, how we thank you for how awesome it is to be in your presence. How awesome it is that you would want to be present with us. So we come thanking you for your presence, thanking you for the time of worship, thanking you that you are here and that you have revealed yourself to us and spoken to us through the songs, and we ask you that you would speak to us through the word. Lord Jesus, you are so worthy to be praised. You're so worthy to live for. You're worthy to receive all honor and glory. Lord, we come as we sang in the worship. We come begging you to come with your consuming fire and just get rid of all that extra stuff, Lord. The flesh, the impure intentions, whatever else we're full of, Lord. Take it away and you fill us with your Holy Spirit. You speak to us. Only you can come and give us pure love that is from you. Only you can come and let us look past how others treat us. Only you can change us. Lord, help us that our life's desire is to please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, have you ever thought about what would happen or what happens after you die? Hey man, what kind of topic is this? That's our topic. Is it better to be alive or is it better to die? Or is it better to wait for the rapture? What do you think? Huh? Wait for the rapture? Any other ideas? To die if you're in Christ. Any other ideas? There's only one third option. No one is choosing that one, huh? All right, who says it's the best to live, to be alive now? Okay, who says it's... Sarah rose her hand. We got one taker there. Who says it is really, really good to die? We got three takers. That's not bad. Who says it's better to wait for the rapture? We got some takers and some not didn't raise their hand. So it's an exciting topic. He talks to us about this here. And he tells us about it, and it should be something that'd be like, huh, what? I don't know. And maybe if, you know, kind of like, you know, we did this number, you know, when raising our hand, that's okay, because that's what happened to Paul, and that's what happens to us. And let's dive into this chapter. You guys know, I just want you to know, I have some good news for you. This is not it. That's not our destination. This is not as good as it gets. So if you feel like it's tough, it's rough, could there be anything better than this? Yes, there is. And it's better than marriage. It's better than, marriage is good, by the way, but it's better than marriage because, you know, I'm talking to youth. So some are going to embark on marriages soon, some maybe a little later. So it's better than that because we look forward to that. It's better than a career. It's better than whatever, you know, that car that you want to buy, that house that you want, you know, it's got that little walk-in closet that's, you know, his and hers. And my wife keeps thinking about that one. Man, that's not going to happen. Anyways, let's dive into our chapter. This is not it. There is more to come. Let's be excited. And if we can understand this chapter, man, our life would be so different here. Would be so effective with people around us, and we'd have the right perspective until we meet our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that he talks to us about is the word "we know." That there's a future hope, guys. And the first thing that tells us about this hope that we have is we have knowledge. We are not like, I think. Have you ever talked to people, you ask them, what's going to happen to you after you die? Have you ever gotten this response from someone who says, well, you know, if by the grace of God he's willing, maybe, you know, if he's kind of feeling good that day, he would let me be with him. you know, or like being humble about it. That's not something, that's false humility. This is something that we know. You can come, and I can come and say, I know what's going to happen to me after this. That's not arrogance. That's the only place that is answered is in Christianity, in Christ that we have. So here he comes and he says, for we know. Do you guys know that our Bible speaks for itself? I sent you guys an email and about this the giants. I don't know if you guys received it. Those were some weird looking images that I've seen. Now, I wanted to bring it up too because I want to bring you a little information that I got. You guys remember Mike and Sarah? They moved to Ontario. And so they used to attend with us for a while, but they moved to Ontario, so they went to church over there. He emailed me. He said, Wadi, I just want you to know that this might be an internet fake. So if it is, it's fake, okay? But it still doesn't change anything. And that's what I love about that pastor. The pastor who sent it to me is that Indian pastor that came and spoke here, the evangelist, who goes and has his ministry in Saudi Arabia. Amazing. A guy who doesn't know Arabic. He's from India and goes and preaches and proclaims the gospel in one of the deadliest places to proclaim the gospel in Saudi Arabia, all underground churches where they have to go out into the desert, hours into the desert. They put a little carpet. They sit on it. They worship God. But if they get caught, they're dead. And we think about, should I go to church? Should I read the Bible? But here he comes and he says, we know. He says, if this is fake, that's what the guy said, his comment. And I liked it. He says, if this is fake, our Bible is true. Do you know that we can stand on solid ground and say, when the Bible says something, say, I know it's true because the Bible speaks for itself. So here he comes and says, for we know that if our earthly house, this body here, this tent, so he likens it to a tent. Please raise your hand if you live in a tent. No people live in a tent. Is a tent beautiful or is it ugly in comparison to a house? Ugly, right? Or else some of us would have raised our hand. I live in a tent. Guys, please, I want you to know I live in a tent. Who ever stayed in a tent overnight? Raise your hand. Okay, is it comfortable? It is? Really? What do you guys use? You guys one of those air pump thingies or something? You guys are just kidding. It can't be comfortable. Clear it? Do bugs come and walk on you and stuff? Anyways, is it permanent or is it temporary? Temporary. What do? After you're done, you pack it up. You take it. Take off. Go to the next place. It helps you while you're traveling. Some people, you know, are into vacationing where they go take a tent, they go somewhere on the beach and they pitch a tent and then they have their vacation. Some others, they like luxury hotels, you know, at least 3 stars. 5 stars is better. Now, if you get into the diamonds, now we're talking. That's good stuff. So here he comes and he says, for we know that if our earthly house, this body right here, this physical body, this tent, meaning this body is likened to a tent. And who's writing this? Paul the Apostle. And you know what he is? He's a tent maker. He knows about tents. And he says, even though I'm a tent maker, I want you to know that a tent is ugly. And I want you to know that you are ugly. Not me, you. I'm just kidding. We're ugly. Meaning, not that we look ugly, and I don't want people to want to go have plastic surgery after this. But I'm talking about if I really look at me now, and I look at what God has in store for me in heaven, this is ugly. Shouldn't that make me so excited about what God has in store for me and not hold on, oh, no, no, oh, I like myself, but want to have Jesus Christ and what he has for me. So he says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, so it's ugly. Second thing is it's temporary. This is not forever. This is not as good as it gets. And if you don't remember what we talked about last week, remember, look at verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I don't get discouraged. Why? Even though our outward man is perishing. Every day passes by, I say, man, that didn't hurt before. That's a new pain. Oh, man, this is decaying. I can't do the things I used to be able to do. But he says, but God is good. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so here he comes and he says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, is what? Destroyed. Here he comes and he's talking, it's in connection with the chapter before. It's talking about suffering that we face as Christians. So he comes and he gets us, you know they say sometimes in psychiatry, if you want to conquer someone's fear, you go and you just like, you know, you expose them big time to that thing they're afraid of and you try to get rid of it. I used to have many fears. God freed me from most of them. And for those of you who know Brother Magdi Samuel, I went to him and I said, you know, that's not right that I have these fears. I said, I put it before God and I can't have these like ridiculous fears that people shouldn't have. And I said, help me out. I said, I want to be free of it. I don't feel like I'm a good Christian because I'm captivated to these things. So one of the things, the fears I had is needles. I know these things are weird. I mean, I'm a doctor. But yes, I wasn't a doctor. Then I had fear of needles. If you said the word needle, I'd feel so faint and I'm going to pass out. You didn't even give it to me. It's not even for me. I would feel like I'm going to faint. And so he said, well, there's two things that you could do. You take a needle, you hold it, you touch it, you tap yourself. And then, you know, that helps a little bit. The other way, just go and take a needle. Have him take, you know, draw your blood or give you a shot or something and just, you know, think about it and do that to conquer. He says, but the third way, just pray and God will take it away. And that I chose the third one. And God took it away. But you know what? He comes here and he says, if you or I, the way that this body goes to the next life comes through someone murdering you or me for the sake of Jesus Christ. He comes and brings it, you know, so to take away any fear we have. He says, what is the worst that any man can do to you? What is the worst that any man can do to me? And that's a lot of times what we think, what crosses our mind whenever we come, you know, especially when we come to that word evangelism, we think of, that's a mighty big guy. I don't know if I would want to make him upset. I remember one time at Cal State Long Beach, I came to, there's this guy, I think his name is Muhammad. Big, I've never seen a guy this huge before. I came to shake his hand, and my hand was like this big inside his hand. And he shook my hand, I didn't even know where it went, you know. And as he's doing this, I had just finished debating, or not debating, but talking about this Muslim guy, the difference between Christianity and the Quran, and disproving the Quran, disproving Muhammad, and that their God is not the same God that we have. And we walk out, and then I'm shaking Muhammad's hand, and then that guy says, hey! And this is all, you know, it's like 20 Arabs there. They're all Muslim. I'm the only Christian there. And they know me. And so he goes, hey! And my hand is still in him. And I'm thinking, get my hand out before he says anything, you know? And so he says, this guy just proved that Quran is wrong. This guy, and my hand is still in there. I'm thinking, let go, man. And so my hand is there. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what did I do? Why did I have to tell this guy these things? I should have just left it for another day. And then the guy says, what? And I said, huh? He said, what? I said, hold on one second. No. And I was like, oh, let me explain. And then I let my hand go. I said, well, you know, I got a class to go. We'll talk later. And I went out of there. He says, if you're afraid, the worst thing you're afraid of, like I was afraid, the guy could kill me. All he had to do is go, and I'm dead. And so if we're afraid of someone killing us, he says, don't be afraid, because even if they do that, it's good. You got some good stuff waiting for you. And so he says, I want to take away any fear. He doesn't say, if naturally you go, sure, may God give you all natural way to go. But if you go away through natural causes, if you go away through old age, if you go away through illness, if you go away through death, look at what awaits us. Just remember one thing, this is a tent. It's destroyed. We have a tent? No, but a building. But what does it look like? It's from who? From God. Wow. You know, I don't know how much stuff you have, and you don't know how much stuff I have. But you know, isn't it cool when I have a lot of stuff? Who would like to have a lot of stuff? Ooh, some people went up real quick. Yeah. So like anything you want, you're like, boop, open up the closet. It's right there. You got it. Whatever, clothing, whatever, you know, CDs, whatever, DVDs, whatever, money, it's all there. That's okay. All right, we got it, Celine. And so, whatever you want, you got it there. Do you know what you have and what I have in Christ? Oh. And is it sufficient? Well, let's deviate a bit. Let's just not go too far. Let's go back to our previous chapter. I want to tell you four things that we have. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have, what do we have? This ministry. Guys, what we have here as Christians, we don't have a ministry. We don't have that ministry. We have this ministry, the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of Jesus Christ, a ministry that is life-changing. You know how many people, never been to church, never heard about God, all you got to do is give them this, man. And if they're brave enough to open it, it changes lives. That's what you and I have in Christ. We have a ministry that is life-changing. You want to know what else we have? Skip a few verses. Let's come to verse 7. But we have this treasure, the treasure of the ministry, again, in what? In earthen vessels. And I realize not only do I have this ministry, but this ministry is a treasure. And you know what that does in you and me? You know, it's so greedy for someone to say, I have something so good and not want to share it with anyone. It makes me say, you know what? I have this treasure, so I'm going to go tell people about Jesus Christ because I got to share it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But sometimes I get afraid, right? Do you get afraid ever to share about Christ? I don't know. Maybe you guys are all brave. It happens to me. I get scared. I get cold feet. I'm like, yeah, no, the other guy looks a lot nicer. I don't feel like talking to her or to him. Oh, she's mean, you know? But look at what God says, what else we have in him. Verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, or that attitude of faith, that trust in God, now suddenly he gives me courage to push on, courage to share that treasure, courage to talk and to realize that the ministry I have doesn't need to be watered down, doesn't need to be changed. It is life-changing. And so we have this faith. And then lastly, what we talked about here, what if someone can come and really destroy me? What do I have? He says, it's not over, guys. We have much more than you think. For we have a building from God. I don't know. If this can be a little more than just a bunch of words, if this can become a reality that we realize is true, if this can become something that we realize that what God is, he's really, what he says is really true. Do you think when I go and talk to people about Jesus Christ, when I go and live, I'm going to be living free? I'm going to not have all this baggage with me. I'm going to go and say, you know what, brother? I have the truth, and this truth is treasure, and I love you, so I want to share it with you. I'm going to find myself bold. He says, well, I'm going to kill you. He says, well, that's okay, brother. But you know, I want you to know that I have a building, even if you take me down. This is just a tent. I got a building, but it's a special building. It's from God. A house not made with hands. A house what? Not made with hands. That's amazing. You know, what does this mean with hands? I mean, did anyone here was made with hands? We know Adam was, right? But were you made with hands? Was I made with hands? No, right? So what does it mean? Well, let's go to Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. So that greater tabernacle is not made with hands. What does that mean? That is not of this creation. Got it? So here when this house that we have, this building that we have in God is not made of hands, so it's what? Not of this creation. You know why? Have you ever thought about, and I've heard, you know, I've thought about it, and I've heard kids, I love kids, man. They ask awesome questions. They're tough, but they're awesome questions. They ask, like, you know, what are we going to do up there in heaven, man? We're going to praise. Okay, so we praise, praise, praise. And what do we do next, you know? It's eternity. It's kind of a long time. We give praise. Okay, we praise, we praise, we praise. What's next? Do we get bored? Do we? Well, yeah, of course, because we're trying to understand it with this. I want you to know that this tent is not made for there. It's not compatible with life up there. And so that's why he says not by made by hands. It is a new creation. You can't fathom it. I went home, I think, last Sunday. And I went and I put on JCTV. And I saw this a movie that started. I wanted to finish it. But I couldn't because I had to go do work. And so I saw the beginning of it. I liked the idea. It seemed, some of it seemed a little off, but it's called A Perfect Stranger. And basically it's this lady that was invited to dinner by Jesus Christ. And so she goes and she sits with Jesus Christ at this table. I don't know. That's kind of brave for someone to act as Jesus Christ. Couldn't do it. But anyways. But one of the things that she asked him, she's like, hey, is it true? The ground is all made of gold there. And so I liked his answer. He said, well, you know, I can't explain to you because I have no point of reference to explain to you what heaven is like. And I said, that's the best answer anyone could ever say about it. You are not compatible, my friend. I'm not compatible with eternity right now. We need a new body. And that's what he's saying here, that new body is amazing. It is a building from God, a house not made with hands. And what does it look like? It's not like a tent. It's not temporary. It is eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. If you are in Christ, I want you to come out knowing. It says, we know. That's the first point. We know that this is temporary. We know that what we have in him is amazing, is made by God, it's eternal, and it's in heaven. You are going to heaven, and I'm going to heaven. What's the second thing that happens? There's a word that gets repeated here, and the word is groan. Let's come into verse 2. For in this we groan. What is in this? Meaning this tent here, in this body here, we groan. Does anyone know what groaning means? To groan means if someone has so much pain or is so distressed and they make this sound like, it's an expression of a way deeper pain within, a deeper distress that's within going, Have you ever seen someone die, say, of a cancer in pain? Have you ever seen someone right after an operation from surgery? You know, have you ever seen them? Some scream because it's so much pain. And some, they groan. They go, and it's really hard to watch them. It's really hard to watch someone scream or groan to do that. And he says that, you know what you and I do? Or we should be doing? We groan. Why? Because it hurts here? Because it's troublesome here? Because we have so much tribulations and trials? He says, brother, you're so short-sighted. Nope, that's not why you and I groan. We groan why, he tells us here. Let's look at it. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. I'll tell you what hurts me, brother. Not the troubles, not the tribulations, not the physical pain, not the bad diagnosis that I got, not the poor prognosis I have, not how much people are hurting me or treating me bad. I'll tell you what's hurting me is I am not with Jesus. That's why I'm groaning, because I desire to be with Jesus. So I've told you guys there's three possibilities, and I will explain them here as the words come up. There's a possibility of being alive here. There's a possibility of being dying, and there's a possibility of being in heaven after the rapture. So how does that look like? So the possibility of being alive, that's called the tent, that's being alive here. When I die, if I was to die right now, but the rapture hasn't happened yet, I don't have a body yet.
I go to the place called paradise, and that place I'm a disembodied spirit, but I am with Jesus Christ. I'm enjoying his presence. It's an amazing place to be. That is called being naked, according to the word that we're going to be reading here. Then there's a place where it's called clothed or clothed upon, and that is the rapture. So which one is the best out of these? Let's look into it. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Here he says, I'm so excited. I'm hurting within just not being with Jesus, you know, not seeing him face to face, not seeing him for who he is, not beholding his full glory. That hurts. And so what do I want? Does he want to die here or not? Does he want to die or not? He doesn't, right? Because he wants to be clothed. To be clothed is not to be naked. He wants to be clothed on top of it. And so here he says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. He says, I want you to know, heaven is the best place. That is the final destination for you and me. So my best place is to be in fully redeemed, fully saved, meaning my spirit, my soul, and my flesh. To be clothed, to have that glorified body with Jesus Christ, that is the ultimate. So if you ask me, what is my opinion or what is the best place to be? That is for the rapture, to be with him forever and ever and behold his glory in a glorified body that's made for that place to enjoy him. So that's what he says here. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So if this happens to me, if the rapture comes, if Jesus can just hurry up, if Jesus can just be here, I don't have to be found naked anymore. I don't have to die, wait, then comes the rapture, then I resurrect first before the people that are here, and then I am clothed and do that. No, I want full glory. Fully, 100% for who I am made to be. And so that's what he's saying here. For we who are in this tent, again, he says that word groan. That's why we said that's the main topic here is groaning. Being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. It's not because I want to die. So if anyone here is suicidal or wants to kill themselves, he says here, it's not the right way, okay? For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. I don't want to die. But further clothed. I want that extra clothing. Why? That mortality, because this is mortal, may be swallowed up by life. Oh, how I long for the rapture of Jesus Christ. How I long to be with him in heaven, not paradise. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. Do you know? He, the H is capital. This is God. For he, now he, meaning God, who has prepared us. Do you know that God prepared you and me for what? For this very thing. Did you know when God came and he saved us, when Jesus Christ saved us, he prepared us for a specific thing. He prepared you and me for eternity with him forever in heaven. Wow. You know, have you ever seen people that come and pray, you know, Lord, what's your will in my life? Lord, what do you want of me? Lord, I really need to know. You know, do you want me to measure in this degree or that degree? Do you want me to marry this person or that person? Do you want me to take this path or that path? Do you want me to do this or that? You want me to, and all these things, right? And so we come and we are not sure, and we want the will of God. And in the Bible, there's in Ephesians, if you read, it says that the will of God for us is he's prepared us for good works that we may live in it. That's in Ephesians 2. But here, what else did he prepare us for? You want to know the ultimate preparation that God has prepared you and me for? For heaven. So why are we holding on to this so much? Why do we live for this? Why do I feel like I gotta, man, I gotta do and this and that. And in the end, so what is it? Is it something lasting? No, it's kind of temporary. So why? Why do I put all this effort? Does it mean, you know, I come and say, oh, I'm not gonna study. Oh, I'm not gonna do anything because, you know, I gotta do what's lasting. That's wrong attitude. But I'm supposed to be very faithful for him. But what's on my mind, what's really preoccupying me is him and being with him forever in heaven. So we, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So how do I know I have it? How do I know that I'm really going to have heaven? How do I know that this is going to be the end result? How do I know that that's my destination? He says, I gave you a guarantee. And here it, in the Greek, if you go into it, it's an engagement ring. It's a promise. And that promise is the Holy Spirit within you and within me. God gave you and gave me a guarantee. Eternity is guaranteed. Eternity is a promise by him. So that brings us to the last point in that first main thing, and that is being confident. And so in verse 6 it says, so we are always confident. Confident what? Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So I look at it and say, wow, I'm confident that as long as I'm here, I'm not with the Lord, meaning physically, I'm not there to see him. So what's the opposite of that? If I'm absent from the body, then I'm what? Present with who? Huh? Yeah, the Lord, Jesus. Good. All right, people are awake. Good. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. How do you walk? And how do I walk? Is it by faith or by sight? Do you guys remember how the last chapter ended? Look at the last verse of the last chapter. While we do not look at the things which are seen, not by sight, but at the things which are not seen, that's called faith. For the things which are seen are temporary. Whatever you and I are holding on to so much here is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. It's forever. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Meaning if someone was to come and to persecute me, I say, brother, I am not seeing you as someone who wants to kill me. I don't see you as someone who annoys me. I don't see you as this. I walk by faith. I see what is unseen. I see a person that Jesus Christ has died for. So I'm sorry, I just have to but love you. And that's it. We walk by faith and not by sight. Because I know that as long as I am here, I am what? A stranger. I am not at home with the Lord. So then my excitement becomes to be with the Lord. Then I find myself, my eyes has changed. My vision is very different. I don't look at things the same way that I used to look at them before. Now I look at things through these amazing eyes. I'm like, I used to see everyone to be extremely ugly. But now I see everyone to be extremely beautiful because I see them as people worth it for God to die for them. I see people that Christ went and left heaven, and it said for the joy that was set before him, he went and died a shameful death. I find myself, wow, you don't annoy me anymore. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's the measurement. Do you want to know if you're walking by faith? Do I want to know if I'm walking by sight? It's if I have too many quirky things that annoy me and everything comes in my way, that's it. I'm walking by sight, not by faith. But if I find myself that, man, it takes a lot to put me over the edge. Oh, I'm walking by faith. Now we're talking. That's a Christian. That's someone who comes in that song that I love. It says, heaven is calling out to me. My soul longs for the city of peace. May the Lord help us walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. Do you think this is important? It says the word confident twice here. We are confident, yes, well pleased. Not only am I confident, but I'm excited. I'm really, really happy. I'm like, I'm giddy, man. What are you giddy about? Let me tell you what I'm giddy about. Yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Anyone here can say this verse for real? You don't have to raise your hand. Because if you're saying this verse for real, meaning, literally, if someone comes right in here, takes a gun, puts it to your head, and said, so, heard you're Christian, eh? Be like, yeah. Again, I heard you're Christian, huh? I don't like Christians. You still want to answer the same answer? Be like, yeah. Say, well, you know, that bullet is going to go into your head and say, oh, that's good. And be excited about that. It's not easy, guys. It's not easy. It's not easy. And so here he comes and he says, we are confident. That's my confidence. Yes, no, I'm not only am I confident. You know, have you ever been confident about something? Have you ever, you know, like gone and taken a test, walked out and says, oh, I'm confident. You know, whoever here, just this one I want to raise a hand. Whoever here walked out of any test, say in the last 5 years, I didn't even finish the question yet. Walked out of a test in the last 5 years, you're so confident, you aced it, but you actually got 100% on it. Oh, some people, that's good. How many actually, for those who rose their hand, got 100% on it? Oh, wow, not bad. So, yeah, many times I feel like come out of the test confident I got 100% on it. Then I'm disappointed at the score. You know, I'm thinking, man, teacher, you got a grade a little better than this. You know, you missed something. But here he comes and says, I am confident. But I'm not just confident, I'm excited. I'm excited, what, to be with Jesus. But meaning, like, to make it shorter here. Meaning, so I got to be taken out somehow. Either, you know, someone takes me out, the Lord takes me out, an illness takes me, whatever, you know. Wow. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, if I was to ask how many people in here love Jesus Christ, I don't think a hand would not go up. But I wonder how many times, if we really were to be faced with that, would this hold true? You know, let me put it in a different way. You know, just think of the last week and think of yourself and I'll think of myself and see how many times do I really honestly think I've put the Lord Jesus to shame and dishonored him. Doesn't have to be an action I did, even within me. Something within me that I know, I'm like, Lord, I'm not happy about this thought I had. I'm not happy about this idea I had. I'm not happy about this attitude I have. I'm not happy. How many of us would have done that in the last week? Something internal. How many of us maybe have done something external? Now imagine if someone wants to kill us and that something external, I want you to know, can't be that powerful. And we were afraid of that person. What makes us think we can come and do that? See, that's a special grace, and that's why the throne of grace says that we may receive grace and mercy in time of need. It's something that you can't store up in your pocket. If the Lord has it for you, and you're a believer, and you love Jesus Christ, that you're going to be a martyr, I want you to know when it comes for your day of martyrdom, you're going to honor him. A power that you can't have any other time except at that exact moment that he can give you. And so Paul came here, and Paul, you know, the history says, not the Bible, but history says he's going to be that he was a martyr for Jesus Christ. And so he comes here and he says, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Here you kind of are going to say, hey, come on, man, the guy just contradicted himself. He says, I want to be clothed on top of it. You know, I want to go to heaven straight in the rapture. And then what's up with this? It's not a contradiction. I'll tell you what it basically says. I want you to know if you are alive today, and if I am alive today, that is good. Because God has something he wants of you. And God has something he wants of me. If you are done, if you are to be put on the shelf, if you are to be retired, he would have taken you. Okay? If you're here, he has a purpose in your life. He has a purpose in my life. And if that doesn't excite you, and if that doesn't make you feel wow and feel so humbled before this amazing God that has something to use you, use me for his glory, unbelievable. I could not think of anything for God to ever want to use me for. I still don't think, I'm like, why, you should take me. Then I always remember, you know, he probably would say like, come on, man, I got to delay that because have you seen you? If you're alive, he has a great purpose for you. Seriously, I wonder until when we will continue to take it lightly and wonder until when we're going to be like, yeah, and be wishy-washy about it. I wonder when we will take it seriously. If you're alive, you're alive for a purpose. Fulfill that purpose. Let him fulfill it in you because you can't fulfill it. The second thing is if he takes you and if he takes me before the rapture, that's better. Because guess what? You're going to enjoy being with Jesus. But the third thing, if the rapture happens right now, that's not better. That's the best. That's some good stuff, man. It's amazing to have that and to realize that we're going to have the rapture. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And this answers another question that a lot of people ask. If I die here and I go to paradise and I'm not in heaven yet, I'm in paradise, am I with Jesus Christ or not? Yes. Why? He says it right here. He says that to be present with who? The Lord. That's Jesus Christ. Anyone here not want to be with Jesus Christ? The only thing you're missing, or I'm missing, if we die, is this physical body. But our spirit, our soul, is enjoying the Lord and being with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to see what that looks like, skip to chapter 12 and he says, oh, I saw a man in the spirit or what? I don't know, but I know that he spoke words. They speak some awesome stuff there. What do they speak? Unutterable, I can't tell you. It's like, oh, man, why'd you do this to us, you know? And so it's amazing. In the place in paradise, you are with Jesus Christ. If someone that you know, someone loved one died in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be sad about them. Because they are with the Lord, that desire that all of us should be having as Christians in Jesus Christ. If someone died that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that's sad. There's no reunion. There's eternal condemnation for them. Here's what it looks like. I'll share with you a couple of verses in Philippians. Philippians 1. Verse 21, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Isn't that what he just told us in 2 Corinthians 5? Same exact thing, right? Makes sense or not? He says, if I'm going to live, if I'm going to be alive, I have one purpose. It's Jesus Christ. To live is Christ. You look at me, you're going to see him in me. How? Well, if you go back to the chapter before that we studied, twice he says the word what? In verse 11, it says that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. He wants the life of Jesus to be what's showing in us. Go to the verse before it, verse 10. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So for me to live is Jesus Christ manifested. Not kind of showing, no, manifested. Showing really good. For to me to live is Christ. Do you know what Christian is when they came up with that word? Christ-like. Christ manifested. Jesus Christ manifested in our life, in this body. People shouldn't be seeing you. Shouldn't be seeing me. They should be seeing Jesus Christ. If we were to put a sentence and say, for to me, and you put your name, I put my name, to live is what? Honestly, I wonder how many of us it would be other things. Or if it says list the top 10 in order, or even the top 10, not in order, but all of them are as important. If the top 10 in order, or in the top 10, they're all important. If it's not Jesus, 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 Jesus 10 times as number one, then for to me to live is not Christ. It's for to me to live is Christ and a bunch of other things. Or for to me to live is a few things and then Christ. For to me to live is Christ. Oh, how I love the song. It says, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Dear, you want this? Take it. I'm ripping you off. Go ahead. Just take it. Just give me Jesus. For to me to live is Christ. If I live here, I know I have a purpose. And I know as long as he has me alive, if he didn't take me, he wants something of me. And I want to do that something. And to die is gain. I want you to know it's good to live here. It's good to be alive. But it's better to be with him in paradise. And to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. More crowns. I get more crowns in heaven. Hey, which one of you guys, if they said, hey, I'll give you $1,000 in your bank account, or if you wait a week, I'll make it 20,000. Who would wait the week? All of us would wait the week. We'd be like, are you crazy? 1,000 to 20,000? Or whatever I said, 10,000, 20,000 is doubling your money. I'll wait a week. Can I wait 2 weeks? You know, if it'll be like 40 if you keep going. Then I'll wait a lot longer. So he says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Oh, wow. More crowns in heaven. Who doesn't want more stuff, right? This is crowns crowned by Jesus Christ. Yet, what shall I choose? To us, it would be a slam dunk. It was just a slam dunk to us when we rose our hand. He says, I cannot tell. I have a hard time. But it's crowns. He says, but you don't know it's Jesus. But you get more crowns. But it's Jesus. Have you seen Jesus? Well, the reason our life is the way it is because we haven't. That's proof. We haven't. But if we have seen him, oh, we'd say, give me Jesus. He says, I can't tell. For I am hard pressed between the two. Have you ever been hard pressed? You know, someone comes this way and someone comes this way and they keep it pushing on. Oh, I'm hard pressed. What are these two? I'll tell you what these two are. I'm hard pressed between the two. Having a desire to depart, be with Christ. I really want to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Oh, you mean you're not talking about the crowns? You're being selfless? All you think about is these people? Have you seen these Christians? They're annoying. He says, yeah, I'm hard-pressed. I love these guys because Jesus loves these guys because I don't see them through your eyes, buddy. I see them through the eyes of Christ. My eyes have been transformed. And so he says, no, and being confident of this, nevertheless, verse 24, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. He says to stay here is more needful. So you know what his decision was? To stay. Wow. He says it's way better to be with Jesus. With you guys are in need. And as I know this need, and my selfish desire says I need to be with Jesus because he's so much better. I mean, you know, no matter how beautiful you are as a Christian, it's just like he's way better. He says, I know, I see him and I just, you know, have you seen Jesus? But I see the need. And then I see him telling me, not time to go yet, Paul. I want you to satisfy this need. So you said to live as Christ, so I want you to keep going. So what does he say? Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain. All right, fine, I'm going to stay. I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Are you living for the crowns? No. I know it's going to get me crowns, but that's not really why I'm staying because it's not enough motivation. You know what my destiny is heaven. But I want you to know that heaven is not just my destiny. Heaven is my motivation. Realizing that I'm going to be with Jesus and how amazing he is, that's what motivates me to live. That's what motivates me, as that song says, every move I make in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take in you. Oh, guys, if we realize there's heaven, and if we realize these three potential places or positions we could be in, states we could be in, we would honor God in the right way. I would say, Lord, it is good that I am alive because I need to be Christ. For to me to live is Christ. I need the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to be manifest in my mortal flesh, in this body. And so I want you to live in me. I want people to see you. But I want you to know, Lord, I want you to not think otherwise. I'm so excited to see you. So if you take me, it's cool with me. Because, oh, how I'd love to. But if you really want my opinion, Lord, just come. Come and take us. Take us home, Lord. Take us to eternity with the rapture so that we can all be one family. You guys know that we will not find denominations in heaven. You guys know that we're not going to get all like, you know, you won't find the biggest debater of this denomination standing with that denomination. I think this verse meant this. I want you to know that every lip, every mouth is going to be shut down. Because he, the Lamb, is there. His glory is there. But I'm so captivated by Paul that he says, I'm willing to delay that glorious meeting with Jesus for your sakes. But if we read in Romans, he said, I'm willing to do the impossible. I'm willing to go to hell if you could be saved. One is to believers and one is to the lost. When he talks about the people of Israel, he says, oh, if I could lose salvation that they may know Christ, I'm willing to do it. That's love. And oh, if God can transform us when we see a sinner out there, next time we see them. We see them and we have this attitude, you know what? Christ died for them. Oh, how I love them so much that I would be willing to lose my salvation. It's impossible, by the way. To lose my salvation that this person may be with Jesus Christ. And then when I come meet a believer, no matter how awesome or not so awesome in my eyes, oh, when I come to see them, I say, you know what? If the Lord kept me here, I'm going to continue to love you. And I'm willing to continue to stay here if that means more progress for you. I want to be a blessing to you. You know, I love this word that Dane sent me and called me and told me a few times. He called me once. He says, Brother Wadia, how can I serve you today? How can I serve you in prayer? And I thought, wow, what an amazing word to say. You know, and I was just so overwhelmed by the amazing question. And I was like, oh, he says, I know it's too much. I said, I'm going to have to call you back. And I called him back a couple of hours later because I needed to think. He said, just give me one thing. I was like, no, that's too much. I can't. There's too much. I said, I have to prioritize him. I have to tell you which one. But is that the attitude you have? Well, how can I serve you, brother? How can I do something to bless you? How can I do something to make you love Jesus more, to make you grow in Jesus more? Is that the kind of attitude we have where it's like, oh yeah, who's going to show off in this? Or, oh, she can't. He can't. Guys, when will the life of Jesus Christ be manifested in our body? You want to know how it happens? Go to those two verses. Verse 10, verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 4, it says that the dying, the daily, the continual dying that you and I have, it's suffering. The only thing that will get rid of our sin is that we suffer for his sake. And we become more and more like him because then the world is meaningless. It says in Peter, as we shared, it says that he who suffers ceases from sin. Be equipped with this kind of attitude. Oh, how I think it would please the Lord if he comes and looks at us and sees a group
without baggage. A group without other intentions, only one, united in it, very different, yet united in one intention, and that is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that he can do it? It starts with you. It starts with me. One person, don't wait for the next person to do it. Just do it and watch how contagious it would be. I love that word in Songs of Solomon. The last chapter, it says, love is, what's the word, is as strong as death or something like that. I'm trying to translate it from Arabic. But love is as strong as death. And then also a little before that, she says, wait, leave me alone. I am love sick. She had this illness that was contagious. It's called love. And it started getting everyone else. You know, she started sneezing love on everyone else. And everyone started loving and having this love for everyone else. Oh, may God make us start sneezing love and make it better than the swine flu, more contagious than the swine flu and whatever else out there, that people would see him in us, his life manifested in our bodies. And oh, the transformation that would happen in our churches, in our homes, in our schools, in our work, in America, in the world. Think big. He can do it through you. And he can do it through me. We just need to come humbly before him. Tell him, Lord, not only do I want to be lovesick, but I want to be homesick. And that's what this chapter is about. Homesick meaning I want to be sick to want to come to you. I remember when I was in Missouri, the first year, the hardest year, actually the first two, but the first was so hard on me. And I remember 6 weeks would come by, and that's the time we get a weekend break. And I would come home, man, I would be so excited to come home. And then right when I get here, I'm happy for about a day or a little less. And then I start getting depressed. Like, you're not going home yet. You got another 24 hours. I know, but it's hitting me. I'm thinking about it. It's so hard for me. But you know, when I was over there, I'm homesick. Before I leave, I was homesick because I know it's only 2 days. That's not fair. What kind of a vacation is that? And so, are you homesick for heaven? Heaven is calling out to you and to me. Are we homesick? If we are homesick for heaven, we're going to live heavenly. We're going to live as people that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, as people who have been seated with him in the heavenly places. Then we're going to love people. We're going to say, you know what? It's good to be here. It's better to be with him. It is the best for all of us to be together with him in the rapture. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, oh, how we thank you that it says that you have prepared us for this. You've prepared us for heaven. And that's how you made us. You've given us a home. And we thank you that this tent is not it, because we don't like it, Lord. But we sure do love you. Lord, help us live for you. Help us realize how awesome and how amazing you are. And how worthy you are to live for. Lord, we want to come before you as Paul came and say that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, help us love believers and help us love the lost. Help us have your eyes. Help us have the eyes of faith and not look at what is seen. Please transform us, Lord. Lord, if just one of us is willing to let you take over, Lord, how much of a blessing that would be to the rest of us here, Lord. So, Lord, we ask you to transform one. Lord, we ask you to transform us all. In Jesus' name we pray.